Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did you know that eggs are amongst the most nutritious foods on the planet, containing a little bit of almost every nutrient you need? Not only are they full of vitamins and minerals, but they're a good meatless source of inexpensive, high-quality, complete protein. Now, complete proteins contain essential amino acids that your body cannot produce itself and which must come from the diet. This makes eggs a great food choice for vegetarians who may otherwise struggle to get these essential amino acids with meat and fish cut from their diet. On your next supermarket list, add Clarence Court free-range eggs. With sunshine yellow yolks, I'm telling you, their rich flavour really can make the most ordinary recipes extraordinary. You can find Clarence Court eggs in all the major supermarkets, including Waitrose, Sainsbury's, Tesco, Ocado. And to learn more, please visit clarencecourt.co.uk. Hello, and thank you so much for tuning in to Food for Thought, a podcast on a mission to equip you with all the evidence-based advice you need to live and breathe a healthy lifestyle. I'm Rhiannon Lambert, registered nutritionist, best-selling author of Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well, and founder of Retrition, London's leading private nutrition clinic. In each episode, I'll be joined by special guests, all of whom can be considered authoritative voices in health, so that together we can learn fact from fiction and empower the healthiest and happiest versions of ourselves with trusted expert advice. Can you have your carbs and eat them too if you're trying to lose weight? With all the low-carb diets to choose from, it might seem like an impossibility, but that's just one of many misconceptions about carbohydrates. The demonization of carbs is so evident today that I find myself defending them on almost a daily basis in clinic. The truth is, carbs are crucial to optimum health, and today I want to delve right in and explain exactly why this is, in the hope that you'll never fear a slice of bread or bowl of pasta again. So joining me to explain the truth about carbs is registered dietitian Hala El Shafi, who specializes in eating disorders and bariatric surgery. Hello, Hala.
Hello, Rhiannon. How are you?
I'm very well. I think the topic we're going to discuss today is so typical of the questions that you and I as registered health professionals, you as a registered dietitian and me a registered nutritionist, get every single day. So to start, if carbs were, as they are said to be in the media, the sole cause of weight gain, then surely we should see everybody on low-carb diets lose more weight than those on high or moderate-carb diets. But that's not the case, is it?
It's not the case. I mean, there are so many misconceptions about nutrition as a whole, and carbohydrates are of no exception. In fact, actually, It's really off the scale, actually, and there are so many misconceptions, and it's actually really concerning because it's now got to the point where it's actually dangerous, and we are seeing issues, and I'm sure you're seeing issues in your clinic with regards to people who have literally taken out a whole food group without understanding the importance of ensuring that you have the right types of foods and also nutrients within the diet.
So I think we should start with
what is a carb?
So we're going to start with the biochemistry.
Yeah, okay. Let's go
so
there.
Basically, in simple terms, we're going back now, it's actually a compound that's made up of carbohydrates, oxygen and hydrogen. Mm-hmm. But to put it in sort of clear terms, carbohydrates are actually basically split into simple carbohydrates
yeah.
and complex carbohydrates, mm-hmm. which I think a lot of people will have heard about, but maybe they don't actually understand what that means. And in really simple terms, it's really how the body actually digests them
okay.
and actually how we use them.
Mm, yeah, no, very well explained. I think most people would think of simple as a piece of white bread or complex as a piece of brown bread. And carbs are such an important component of the diet. So let's talk through some of the reasons why today we are saying perhaps you actually need these carbohydrates.
Well, you really do need carbohydrates. And we are getting so many mixed messages in the media about, well, you don't need carbohydrates. And on a technicality, you could survive without carbohydrates. However, this is the preferred source of energy
yeah.
in the body. And also the brain actually needs glucose, okay,
yeah.
which is what carbohydrates are broken down into.
Isn't 25% of our brain's energy, like, that's fueled by glucose?
Exactly right. And also it does affect our mood.
Yes.
You know, there are lots of different aspects here. And my biggest concern is, once we break down foods into nutrients, we don't go into the supermarket buying nutrients.
No.
Or we don't order nutrients in a restaurant.
That's
it's food.
Such a good analogy.
Think about it.
Yeah.
So when you actually break it down like that, it starts to become a nonsense, because
yeah.
it actually is a nonsense. But that nonsense is causing serious issues for many, many people because of the lack of understanding. So hopefully today we'll be able to dispel most of, if not all, of those myths.
No, I think that's so, so true. And we will definitely be discussing those really important factors, because we know, and we both know, that serotonin is our happy hormone, and that actually serotonin plays a role with the production of melatonin, which regulates our circadian rhythms and our sleep cycle. And also a lot of it comes from the gut, which links back to things like how healthy is your gut, carbohydrates contribute to that. But what impact, Hala, could cutting carbs have on someone? What are the kind of signs that people tend to see?
I think the most obvious sign is poor energy levels.
Mm.
So, you know, irritability, you hear the term hangry.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, you ask anybody.
I was
who
so
cuts
angry
out...
yesterday.
I mean, literally, don't speak to me if I've
yeah.
missed lunch or I'm late for lunch, because honestly, you'll be on the
we
receiving
were stuck
end.
In traffic where I think Buckingham Palace was closed, and we decided to go to Victoria for lunch. And about an hour later in traffic, I was an hour behind my lunch, and we both had to go home and give up. It was awful.
Road rage happens.
Road rage.
Yeah? Exactly. No, and it does affect your mood, because it's directly affecting your blood sugars.
Mm-hmm.
And once your blood sugars are no longer stable, that has a direct effect. Now, a lot of people assume, well, I don't have the willpower and so on and so forth, but it's actually not about that. It's about the physiological effect that it has on the body.
Thank you for clarifying that. So I think a lot of people think about willpower and they think that they're not good enough or they can't say no. So you said it is evolutionary, basically.
Absolutely. I mean, everything that we eat has a direct effect on our gut,
mm.
our digestion and our blood sugars. And
yes.
that then has an effect on how we actually function
yes.
As a human. And it's so much more than weight. And I'm so upset that nutrition has now been just devalued to just weight loss, weight gain.
Yeah.
I mean, with all due respect, I didn't train for as long as I did, and you didn't train for as long as
no.
you did, neither did any of our colleagues
no.
In the field.
Just to do weight loss.
Thank you.
I feel like if I give a talk somewhere, it's always, well, how are you going to help me lose weight? Whereas, like you just said, look at your energy levels, your concentration, your mood every day.
Your sleep patterns.
Sleep.
All of these factors
mm.
affect absolutely everything, including your ability to manage weight,
yeah.
even your stress levels,
yes.
because there's a hormonal balance, which is absolutely crucial. Now, you start messing around with your nutrition and what you're eating, you will start to also have a negative knock-on effect to your physiology.
Oh, there's
okay?
so much I want to delve into now.
My head
is spurring with things like calories and all this different. But I think actually, let's start with them. Why? I mean, I see people in my clinic that are scared of white carbs. Do you want to just explain? I know we touched on it at the beginning. What is the difference between white
and brown carbs.
Okay, so basically what we're talking is simple carbohydrates, okay? Now, if we actually break down, going back to the biochemistry of what carbohydrates are, they're actually broken down into monosaccharides, which is the simplest form, and actually that's how the gut actually absorbs the carbohydrates that you eat. The next category is disaccharides, which is the two of them added together.
So, mono, one, di.
And then we go to oli, which is a few, and poly, which is
lots.
Yes, exactly. So it's there we go. That's
taking me back to uni there.
You and me both. So the factor here is that anything that we eat, if they're di, or oli, or polysaccharides, they have to be broken down into monosaccharides. Now, polysaccharides, which is fiber, which we'll talk about later, cannot be broken down. Okay, so that then means that there is a direct effect on your blood sugar or not, as the case may be. Okay, so it does affect our blood sugars, and that's why it's important. So going back to white bread, it is a simple sugar. It's broken down into simple sugar, and it does have a direct effect on your energy levels and stabilizing those.
Excellent. But it doesn't mean, of course, that there's a good or a bad food, because, of course, they have a place.
I don't use that terminology, and I focus on re-educating clients and patients on that, because that has such a negative connotation with regards to your relationship with food. There is no such thing as a good or bad food.
No.
This is not a wrong or right situation. It's about the balance of our diet. And also, to be quite perfectly honest, it's okay to have those foods occasionally.
Of course.
And what would life be? What would life be without them?
I know.
We don't just eat for our nutritional status.
No. Exactly. I completely agree. And you've mentioned blood sugar a lot. So a term I think people will have heard a lot of is GI, or the glycemic index, but I'm not sure everyone knows exactly what that means. So should people be focusing on the GI of their foods?
Only if you're working with a registered nutritionist or a registered dietitian. And I'll explain the reason why. On its own, you will get yourself into trouble, and I'll explain to you why. So just to throw it out there, for example, watermelon has a higher GI than chocolate cake.
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
There
so,
you go.
So there you go. So you could get yourself into a lot of hot water and into a bit of a mess if you're just doing that. So it's really in context, and it's really about the balance of your whole diet, and not just in one day, because we can't get everything that we need in just one day, one meal.
Most people think low GI is good for them. But like you just said, chocolate cake is lower than watermelon.
Yeah,
so it genuinely doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. No, it's very, very important to bear that in mind. So, of course, the exception to focusing on things like GI diets, again, is if you're diabetic. And I think let's just separate them out and put type 1 diabetes aside just for a second. Can you explain a bit more about type 2 diabetes and why this may be affecting them with blood sugar levels?
So basically, with type 2 diabetes, you have an insufficiency of insulin production from the pancreas, but also your body has just become less able to actually utilize that insulin, in very basic terms. However, the nutrition is absolutely crucial in somebody with type 2 diabetes, as is activity as well. Now, if you do have type 2 diabetes, you absolutely need to be under a registered dietitian and a diabetic 100%. Team as well, because there are serious implications of not being able to manage your blood sugars over a period of time. Now, there has been some really interesting research with regards to low carbohydrates diet.
Diets, because I hear it all the time, Hala. I hear give up carbs if you've got type 2 diabetes.
Well, it's not that simple. Now, low carbohydrate diets can be safe and effective in the short term, but remember I said can be safe and effective in the short time. So that is what, that's also why we need to ensure that you are under a registered dietitian and a diabetic team to be able to manage your blood sugar levels as well. Also, if your blood sugars become very low and you become hypoglycemic, which is also the risk of having a low carbohydrate diet, then you could potentially be in trouble. So that is also a factor which people don't consider.
Well, no, I think they always assume take the sugars out, and they forget actually sometimes they really need the sugars.
Absolutely.
So it can work both ways. And again, that's reiterated the importance of not just taking something out of your diet without fully understanding what it does. I mean, the UK government guidelines recommend that approximately 50% of our total energy intake should be from carbs in itself. And this is a helpful rule of thumb to follow, but obviously we're all unique, aren't we? So
we are absolutely unique. And yeah. I think just to clarify that further, what we need to be looking at is not just the type of carbohydrate, but the quality and the quantity. And that is where people go wrong, so to speak. So that's why working with a healthcare professional who is qualified and actually knows what they're doing, because, you know, all of our studies are research-based and evidence-based, ensures that we keep you safe, because that's what it's about at the end of the day. And so many people end up getting into so many problems as a result of doing something on their own.
Well, you specialise in eating disorders, Hala, as well, and bariatric surgery, and you must see this kind of thing all the time with people just suddenly being very scared of a food group.
This phenomena, I mean, there are research statistics on this, but anecdotally, I am seeing a serious increase in food aversion, food fear of foods, and specifically carbohydrates, and it's so misplaced. Yeah. But the fear is very, very real. And trying to unpick that because somebody has read an article or started a diet without understanding really what the implications of that are, you know, has very, very serious consequences.
Yeah, I mean, I see many people in clinic that are very surprised when I tell them that fruit and vegetables actually contain carbohydrates as well.
Well, this is it, as does milk. Yeah. You know, people, you know, don't actually understand. And yes, we want people to be reducing what we call free sugars in the diet, because as a nation, we are eating too much of those.
We have a whole podcast episode on sugar because that's so important.
So I won't labour on too much on that. But with regards to free sugars specifically, there is no nutritional benefit. However, there is still a place for it. That's fine too. Yeah. But what we're wanting to see much more of is an increase in fibre, which we have a significant reduction of. If you look at the national statistics at the moment with regards to fibre, it is so low.
Yeah.
Now, that has a knock-on effect on gut health and also heart health as well. So you cut out carbohydrates in your diet, you're also cutting out pretty much one of the key aspects of the diet, which is protective for your overall health.
Gosh, and when you put it like that, it's so extreme, but it's so true, because as we touched on with gut health earlier as well, if your gut isn't eating enough of the right amount of fibre, like you just said, I think the National Diet and Nutrition Survey this year said we get around 17 to 18 grams. We're meant to get 30.
We're meant to get 30, exactly right. And if you think about it, if you take that into individual diets, there are people on significantly lower amounts, which is an absolute concern, and it will have an effect on people's health in the long term.
Well, I'm going to do a whole episode on this, but I want to touch on keto diets very quickly. It wasn't something I planned to discuss, but I think it's important that you actually raise this and then we delve into starchy veg, for instance, because I think just understanding what you find in fruit and vegetables is important.
I mean, This goes back to what I was saying at the very beginning. We don't just eat nutrients and we don't just eat vitamins and minerals. You don't go into a restaurant and order a nutrient or, you know, give me a plate of carbohydrates or not. That's, we eat food, right? And the issue here is many people don't appreciate that potatoes are getting, you know, a bit of
very hard time,
right? Okay.
Poor spuds.
Yeah, exactly. Poor spuds. You know, the good old British spuds, and you know, everyone's gone on the sweet potato vibe, which is great. They taste great, but we have a significant amount of fibre in potatoes. Mm. We also have vitamin C, which people probably don't understand or realise, and the issue, the main issue with carbohydrates is actually what you're doing to them.
Yeah.
So people tend to overeat on them because you might be having chips, which are very Moorish, or you're having some bread and butter, which again is very Moorish.
Mm.
And that's what tends to ensure that people overeat on them, because...
Yeah, because a boiled potato is not, in my eyes, as Moorish as some chips.
Exactly. But there's still a place for them, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, but it's how we have them.
Well, they affect your blood sugar levels differently, don't they?
Do.
Because I read that if potatoes are consumed cold, there's more resistant starch. So
that's right.
It releases slowly. Whereas if you have them hot, it's very quick.
Yes, but that's absolutely right. But I still wouldn't say to people overall, you know, only
just
have them
cold.
In that. Exactly. I mean, it's potato salad all the way now.
Yeah.
You know, it really is about context. And it's also about the overall diet. You know, what are you doing, you know, over a day, over a week, over a month, over a year? It's not just about one meal or one vegetable.
No, I find it very difficult to discuss, but I think the fitness industry is a little bit to blame as well here.
A little bit?
Okay, well, you're being very honest. you can go for it here, Harlow, because I see some very positive aspects of it as well as the negative.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I've worked with some excellent fitness professionals.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking excellent, who really have done their research and have trained very, very well. And it's an absolute pleasure to work alongside them and to learn from them as well.
But it's the PTs advocating keto. And
yes, exactly. Yeah. Because what they don't understand, well, bearing in mind, okay, so I'm talking from a place of I'm seeing the negative results of it. So when you're having somebody in clinic who is now suffering from an eating disorder, disordered eating, is severely obese because they have been on and off all sorts of diets or they've been made to feel ashamed
psychologically,
because they can't. Yeah, exactly. And so there is a huge issue in the fitness community with the level of knowledge. Okay. Now, this isn't everybody at all. That, like I said before, there's some excellent trainers out there, but there are also many that are fueling this issue, and it's almost like they're compounding the problem.
I feel like they all feel that cutting carbs is the answer to looking aesthetically lean, and that is a problem. And when we said earlier, like starchy veg that contains, you know, carbs, but it's just harder to break down, like you said. Vegetables are the things that contain the fiber, so you don't absorb it all.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
But can you tell me more about the time people always feel bloated after eating carbohydrates, and they feel that, they feel when they cut them out, they feel like they're fine.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, it really goes back to what I was saying earlier.
Yeah.
It's like, well, probably what type of carbohydrates are you eating? And if you are eating some, you know, a thick chunk of crusty bread with lots of butter, you're probably going to overeat on it because it's just so Moorish.
Yeah.
So you are probably going to be quite bloated from that. But also pulses and vegetables can also leave you bloated as well.
Exactly.
And so, again, if that's something that isn't very prevalent in your diet, I would say to actually build that up gradually. Yeah. Because if you go from sort of 0 to 100 overnight, you're going to have some issues.
100%.
And probably not going to be very popular as well.
No, I know. I think with the bloating, I think people also forget that it's how you eat the food as well.
Yes.
Are you chewing it properly?
Exactly.
Are you sat down
exactly.
at a desk?
Exactly. I mean, there are lots of factors to bloating. And there may also be some serious issues as well. So again, if you are worried, first of all, go to your GP, get a referral to a registered dietitian, so
get
that
checked.
You can ensure that there isn't any underlying issues. Because if it is something that is consistent, then I would say it's probably something that you need to get looked at.
100%, not just the simple water retention, because with every carb, you attract water molecules, so you'll feel a little bit heavier. So I think to round things off on that discussion as well, it's not sustainable, is it? Because more than 50% of people that go on diets put the weight on and more.
I mean, I've said it before, I'll say it again, diets don't work.
Yeah.
Okay?
Delve into that for me, because there's a lot of people at the moment hailing calorie deficits and lots of things.
That's all very well if you're a lab rat.
Yeah.
But we're human. We have emotions, we have lives, we have stressful jobs, and life in principle might work like that, but the reality is very, very different. So that is why the success rate is as poor as it is. That's one of the many reasons.
Yeah.
But it is unsustainable in the long term. And actually, I would probably, and this is probably a little bit contentious, I would probably say, and if it is that sustainable, you probably have some level of disordered eating in there as well.
very contentious, but very fascinating. And actually, I tend to associate as well, this is anecdotal, and I'd love to look up more research on this area, those that are highly driven, that stick to the diets rigidly, they do tend to come under disordered eating behaviours.
They do indeed. And
we see them in clinics.
Yes, you will have seen that yourself.
Their ability to stick to that.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I don't like to use the word normal, but if you are that rigid in your thinking, think about it, it has a knock-on effect.
Mm.
Are you saying no to invitations with your friends?
Mm.
Are you going out to dinner anymore? Mm. Is it impinging on your life? I would like to say, pretty much, yes, it is, because it's not sustainable, and it's also not socially that viable. And if you are being that restrictive, then I would say, look at your psychology and how it's making you feel. Because the other concern is when people then go off-piste, so to speak, they go on holiday or they go off at the weekends, what you're actually seeing is binge eating behaviour.
Yes, because you're going for it at the weekend and then during the week you're being very strict, and that has a knock-on effect on your set point and your weight anyway long-term.
Exactly right. And it's what I call the pendulum effect. And by that I mean, however far you swing this way with regards to your restriction, I'm telling you now, it's going to have the equal and opposite effect.
Ooh.
In the negative aspect.
I could do another podcast on this.
Day in, day out. Well, maybe we
yeah,
will
I think
to explore, because that's a whole other discussion right there. But yeah, to answer
like
your question.
Body competitions and things like that. But
yes.
Yeah, you're right. We'll delve into that another time. I think let's round off with how people should think about incorporating carbs into their diets. So what are the main tips? You've mentioned the two Qs, the quality and quantity. What would you advise the listeners?
So basically, it's all about balance and variety. Now, the biggest issue with regards to carbohydrates that people tend to get skewed is the quantity.
Yes.
Okay. And that doesn't mean that you can't have a bowl of pasta.
I know.
At all.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying. But it's really about looking at your diet overall and looking at the amount. So in basic terms, if you were to split a plate, okay, in half that plate should be salad, vegetables and vegetables, and the other half of the plate should be split in two. Now, this is if you're looking at weight management,
yeah,
right? And then the other half, so a quarter of that, we're looking at protein, and the other quarter we're looking at complex carbohydrates, mm-hmm, ideally. Now, that's a very simplistic view. Everybody will be different, and some people some people will require more, and other people will require more complex carbohydrates, yeah, in there as well. And this is what I'm saying, there is no one size fits all. I cannot stress this enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so pleased that you wrote a book on nutrition, Rhiannon, right?
Thank you, Hala.
You wrote a book on nutrition.
We try
Thank
and say
you.
That in Renourish. We
Thank
try
you.
And talk about it.
Because,
bless you.
And people ask me, why haven't you written a diet book? Well, I haven't written a diet book, no, and I won't be writing a diet book, because diets don't work. If they did, we'd have one Bible,
yeah,
and we wouldn't have an epidemic of obesity. Or
eating disorders,
exactly. Okay, so there is something amiss, right?
100%. Gosh, I mean, yeah, the balance plate analogy is good, but I feel like everyone wants us to give. And if you're listening to this podcast and you wanted us to say, this is exactly how much you should be eating, I'm so sorry to disappoint you. But at the same time, I'm not, because I'm hoping we've opened your eyes to the fact that you have to do a little bit of the groundwork yourself, and it's something we do.
So basically, the factors with regards to each person, male or female, what's your starting weight? What is your lifestyle? Have you had a blood test? What is going on with regards to that? You may be deficient in iron. There could be issues around calcium. So all of these factors we look at when we are consulting patient.
Your
gut health. There are a myriad of factors,
yeah,
before we work with somebody. And I say work with because we provide the information. And at the end of the day, Rhiannon, it is an informed choice. I am not here to tell anybody how to eat. I am here to give people the facts and also
why,
to work, most importantly, on people's relationships with food. Because when I see the devastating effect, and I have seen people die,
yeah,
through eating disorders, these are the facts. But you won't see that glamorized,
no,
in the press or on social media.
No, no.
Right? And the other effect is severe obesity and patients having bariatric surgery. Okay? And some of those patients were never severely obese, but they actually started their obesity journey with the first diet they embarked
on. Which is why it's not willpower. I'll emphasise again, it's really not a choice to be obese or anything like
that. It's really
not. So we've had lots of questions for you from followers. Okay, so you won't have seen any of these. And again, we can't offer bespoke advice, but we'll do our best to see what we can say. So Sonia has said, should I be exercising more on the days when I eat carbs?
Well, again, we can't give individual advice because that really depends. What does Sonia do for a living? Yeah. What's Sonia's sleeping pattern?
What exercise?
What exercise and what else is she eating in the diet? I mean, so it's actually a non-question. And hopefully by answering that way, people will actually start to understand.
Yeah.
This is a thought process when somebody comes in clinic. Before they've even sat down, there is a plethora of information that we actually need to collate.
Yeah, I mean, are you running? Are you doing yoga?
Exactly.
That would depend on your
two cues.
How
old are you? You know, there are lots of different factors.
100%.
Sorry, Sonia.
Good answer, though. Anna has said, my PT told me to only follow a low GI diet in order to lose weight and gain muscle. Is he right? I'm really not sure he knows much about nutrition. I had to pick that question out because I thought it was quite relevant.
It's very relevant, and I think the answer's within the question. Mm. I would have said if he's a registered dietitian or registered nutritionist, possibly he knows what he's talking about, if he's done a full assessment. Otherwise, if you have any doubts, listen to you. Trust your gut in that regards, because do not follow anybody's advice who isn't qualified to give you that advice.
Yeah, 100%. Angela has said, when I cut carbs and upped my protein, I lost weight. I realised this isn't sustainable as I really miss my carbohydrates, but I'm so scared to put the weight back on. What do I do?
Oh, goodness. This is what we see day
in, day
out.
I know. It's just like a day
because,
in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Because what you have is the magic unicorn bullets. Yeah.
Mm.
And this is where we get into that cycle of dieting mentality, and it starts to affect our body image, our mood, our self-esteem, and then we're on this yo-yo diet bandwagon. Okay. So work with somebody, because actually what I would already say is that has already started to affect your relationship with food and also your body image. And yeah, work with somebody. That's the bottom line. Yeah. Because it just starts the alarm bells already ringing. And she's not the exception to the rule.
No.
That's the issue.
There are so many people, and I think what we might do at the end of this episode, what we will do rather, is put some resources on the end,
yes,
like some links to send you to for information and who to contact. Steph has said, I've heard that water is needed to break down carbs, so should I drink more water on days when I eat more carbs?
Should I drink more? You should be drinking the right amount of water for you.
Yes.
Is that?
Yeah, I know. It's a very, very good answer.
It's like the nutrition
But you know, the average Brit drinks one glass of water a day. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the latest stat.
I mean, yeah. Well, so, I can actually believe it. Yeah. I mean, really, what we're talking about is fluid, and I don't include alcohol in this.
No.
Just to put the disclaimer.
But we do drink alcohol, even though we're health professionals, just to put it out there.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not perfect.
Yeah, exactly. No, there is no such thing as perfection. I mean, if you're looking for it, it's not here. It's not me, anyway.
Yeah, no. Okay. Right. Well, Hala, that leads me on to my favourite part, which is our fact or fiction round. Are you ready?
Yes, let's go.
Okay, so answer fact or fiction to the following. Carbs are fattening.
That's fiction.
Carbs make us happy.
Absolute fact.
Bread. No, there you go. She's like, no. She's like, yes, give me more. Bread is bad for us.
Fiction.
All carbs are created equal.
Fiction.
White carbs are bad.
That's also fiction, because it's in context.
There we go. Vegetables have carbs.
Fact.
There we go. All simple carbs are bad and all complex carbs are good.
False.
Sugar-free equals carb-free.
Fiction.
Yeah. I mean, how can you possibly... Because everything technically sugar in the body, isn't it? You've got lactose in milk, fructose in fruit...
Exactly.
It all, carbs.
It all gets broken down to monosaccharides.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter if it's a carb or not. It will be broken down into a sugar. Only breads and grains contain carbs.
Only. Oh, fiction.
Yeah. Carbs make you gassy and bloated.
Not all carbs, fiction.
Yeah, there we go.
Did I pass?
Well, you're the expert, Harlow, you know.
Well, you're an expert as well, Rhiannon.
This is a nice topic for us both to discuss because it's something that I'm sure the listeners can tell I'm very passionate about this because, like you, we see the destructive impact daily. Yeah. So that nearly wraps up this episode. But as with every guest, we finish with a food for thought. So mine today would be that the view that all carbs should be cut from someone's diet is just quite simply wrong. Carbs can hold such a special place in nutrition as they provide the largest single source of energy in the diet. And most carbs get broken down or transformed into glucose, which is just what we discussed a minute ago, like a form of sugar, which can be used as energy. But carbs can also be turned into fat and stored for energy later on. So we discussed the two cues. Please remember the quality and quantity that works for you. Glucose is also essential for our brains, which we discussed at the beginning, and the preferred energy source for our muscles during strenuous exercise. If you're naturally lean and physically active and you've got a diet that's rich in carbs, it's going to be likely to enhance your performance and lifestyle if you're getting the right amount anyway as well. So it's for these reasons that any respected health professional would never encourage cutting carbohydrates from your diet. So I think Harla said it beautifully earlier. Please question anyone who tries to do so. So if I could ask you to leave our listeners with one food for thought, it can be anything that you feel they will benefit from. What would that be?
Nutrition rocks.
Ah, love
nutrition
it.
Rocks, yes. Basically. Yes. And I'll talk about that. That is the whole reason I actually set up Nutrition Rocks, because as the name suggest, nutrition does rock, and you need to look after your whole way of eating. And it's not just about the foods that you put into your body, it's your relationship with food, it's how you feel about yourself and your body image. And actually, one of the key factors that we haven't spoken about is that I actually run body image sessions for women, and have done for many, many years, because there are so many misconceptions. So there is a whole group of women and men who don't have an eating disorder and are not obese or severely obese, for example, who have got a disordered relationship with food and also a really poor body image. And it's really around supporting them to understand the myths and the facts that are out there. I'm so happy that you are running these podcasts to educate people, Rhiannon. And honestly, it's such a blessing. And that's why I was really, really happy to come on today, because it's so challenging day in, day out, being in clinic and hearing. It's exhausting. Yeah. Basically, what we're doing is unpicking the mess that other people have created. And many of those are celebrities with millions of followers who, quite frankly, are destroying so many women's lives and men's lives as well, because of the absolute pressure that people are under to look a certain way and to eat a certain way. And it's just so misguided, and it does cause serious physiological issues as well as psychological issues.
So emotively put there at the end, and I think everyone should check out Nutrition Rocks, and we'll put all the links in the show notes. But Harla, thank you for sharing such a passionate and important topic with me and being a guest on Food for Thought.
Thank you so much for inviting me on. Keep up the amazing work. I love it.
Thank you so much for listening to Food for Thought. It really is amazing to know there's such a craving to hear from expert voices in a world full of confusing advice. If you enjoyed this episode, you will absolutely love what's coming next week. So please make sure you click subscribe to be the first to hear it. And please, if you have time, do leave a 5-star review. It really does help to get our podcast out there to reach higher highs in the charts and hopefully help more and more people. For more information about my Retrition Clinic, books, healthy recipes, events, retreats, and so much more, please visit Retrition.com and follow me at Retrition on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.